For the final part of our anniversary broadcast here on Radio Prague, I'm joined in the studio by two very special guests. The Czech-born UK-based writer Benjamin Kuras, who worked briefly for Radio Prague's English section during the Prague Spring of 1968. Hello and thank you for coming.
Hello and nice to be here again.
And also our very own David Warner, who's been working with us in various positions since the early 1990s. Hello, David.
Hello.
Mr. Kuras, you joined Radio Prague in April 1968, which must have been an exciting time.
It was indeed, yes. And I was the first broadcaster in Prague Radio who did not have to join the Communist Party in 68. They abolished the rule that you had to be a communist to work here. And I was, in fact, asked at my audition whether I would like to join the party. And I said, well, do I have to? And the man who interviewed me was the head of the African English service at that time, said, well, you don't have to. As of a week ago, you don't have to, but it would be nice if you did. And I said, well, do you mind if I remain in the youth party for a while, for a little more? And he said, that's okay. And they did give me the job in spite of not joining the party. It was exciting, obviously, because things were happening every day. I wasn't quite sure how the English took it, how interested in it they were. We did all sorts of other things like cookery and postal stamps programs. There were some postal stamps buffs in England who actually did write letters to us, so we did reply to those.
I should add, actually, that went on right up until the mid-90s.
Well, Mr. Kuras, a few months, this probably doesn't concern the stamp collecting programs of Radio Prague of the day, but a few months before the Soviet-led invasion of 1968, Czechoslovakia officially abolished censorship in the media. Did you feel any pressure when you were working here, and or did Radio Prague report it report freely and independently?
We had, a bulk of centrally written material from which we could choose as we decided to do on a daily basis. We did not have access to, how would I put it, to foreign sources which would contradict, let's say, the Czech sources. So all we could choose from were Czech agency sources and radio correspondence, obviously.
Yeah. David, you have been for years now exploring Radio Prague's and Czech radio archives. Was propaganda the core mission of Radio Prague when it went first on air in 1936?
Well, it certainly was a major part of it. If you just look at the date, 1936, this was when Hitler was at the height of his power and his expansionist rhetoric was getting louder and louder. He passionately hated the Czechoslovak president, Beneš, and German propaganda under Goebbels was extremely virulently anti-Czech. And the Czechoslovak government realized that they had to respond in some way. So maybe it wasn't so much propaganda as counter-propaganda. And there is in the archives an amazing amount of material from the late 1930s, especially from round about the time of the Munich crisis of September 1938, when eventually Hitler was given about a quarter of Czechoslovak territory. And some of this is interesting in that it is really appealing passionately to the Germans and also to Czechoslovakia's allies to understand, to find compromise. And here's a broadcast from, in fact, exactly 73 years ago, the 31st of August 1938, appealing for reason.
Provided that such matter of course presumptions as the sovereignty of the Czechoslovak state, its independence and unalterable democratic constitution are respected, a compromise in Czechoslovakia's nationality problems is possible. Of this there cannot be the slightest doubt, and we do not give up the hope that the present tension between Czechoslovakia and Germany will be relieved.
That was Czechoslovak politician Hubert Ripka speaking there about the Sudeten German crisis, as he says, in September 1938. What was Radio Prague's role after the war and during the first decades of the communist rule?
Well, the process of making Radio Prague into a propaganda station after the war started pretty quickly, and I think even before the communist coup, in fact. There was already a process of cleansing certain elements of in the radio. After the communist coup, it accelerated immensely, and very many of the best journalists at the radio were thrown out, and they were replaced by loyal communists, one of whom, interestingly enough, was Arnošt Lustig, the writer, who very quickly realized that the error of his ways, that he was broadcast being used as a mouthpiece for a pretty nasty regime. Ironically enough, many of these people themselves were later thrown out as well in the course of the 1950s because of the whims of those in charge. But there was also a lot of very good and interesting broadcasting. There were also some very talented broadcasters. I've already mentioned Arnošt Lustig. Another one was Karel Kinzel, who was the Czechoslovak radio correspondent in the United States. And we can hear from, for example, from the mid 60s, an interview that he did, or a part of an interview with that he did with Martin Luther King, about asking about how much has been done to end segregation.
These are meaningful changes, but I must not give the impression that the problem is almost solved. There's still a great deal to do. We've come a long, long way, but we have a long, long way to go.
I have the impression that sometimes the changes we are speaking about are much more surface changes than the real changes.
Yes, I think we must recognize that two or three things are developing which can be dangerous if they are not dealt with. One is a trend toward token integration. And this, it seems to me, is the job ahead, to transform token integration into good faith compliance and integration. The other fact is that we still haven't touched one of the basic problems in our society, and that is that the Negro is still at the bottom of the economic ladder.
That was an interview with Martin Luther King by a famous Czech radio journalist, Karel Kinzel, who left for the United Kingdom in 1982, 14 years after you, Mr. Kuras. Did you ever meet Karel Kinzel while you were in London?
Yes, we worked for the BBC together for the Czech service in different ways. He covered mostly the Czech events. And he did his best, I have to say. I had a certain degree of admiration for him. He did his best to expiate for his communist past, as it were. And he became a very valued colleague to me.
Now, speaking of your work for the Czech service of the BBC, where did you get information about what was happening in Czechoslovakia at the time?
Well, we had to listen to Prague Radio. We had to monitor. You were going to ask me, I'm sure, if I ever listened to Czech radio in exile. Of course I did. We had to listen to the midnight broadcast and write down if their story differed from ours, or if there was some new terminology that we hadn't known that the Czech communists invented. There was quite a bit of that. We were told, however, not to fall too much for the Czech communist terminology, because we had listeners writing to us admiring how pure our Czech had remained over all those years.
When you compare what Radio Prague did when you were here in 1968 with what you did at the BBC's Czech section, are there any similarities in any way in the way, you know, they work with information?
Well, both were propaganda of the country that I was paid by to the country that I left or hadn't gone to yet. I have to say that the British propaganda was more bearable to me than the Czech one. Although, yes, the last couple of months that I worked in Prague in 68 was not exactly propaganda. We were taking it as a sort of a light-hearted view of the events.
David, how did Radio Prague change in the hardline times of the 1970s and 80s, after the Soviets managed finally to subdue the reform efforts of Prague Spring?
Well, I think one of the most interesting things is that immediately after the Soviet invasion in 68, nearly everybody was actually allowed to come back again after the initial street battles, etc., etc., and the very famous broadcast of Radio Prague in August 1968. Most of them were allowed to stay on, but what happened was this really pernicious process of normalization, whereby step by step people were purged. One of the means, for example, was by asking people to renew their party membership and then asking them directly how they felt about the invasion. This was a way whereby they got rid of many of the staff there. And really by 1971, 1972, there were very few of the most active staff from before that time.
Well, it's been great talking to you. Thank you very much, Benjamin Kuras, for coming to speak to us here at Radio Prague.
Thank you.
And David, it was great to see you again.
Thank you very much.
This brings us to the end of Radio Prague's anniversary special. Thank you very much for all your well wishes. We hope to be here for you in years to come. But now, for myself, Jan Richter, and all of us here at Radio Prague, thank you very much for tuning in today, and goodbye.